baby back door, baby fall off, sipping codeine cause I got a killer cough. Let me sit sideways in the big bins. Oh, you boys, they my brothers, they my friends.
There's not one guy, one person in the history of this program that's bigger than the program.
Mayfield on play action.
You're listening to Brandon Drum and Parker Thune. This is the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast powered by Riverwind Casino, the Portal Edition Part 2. We podcast and we've lived about that, but podcast-wise, this is the second podcast we've had over the portal. And what a day! What a 24 hours. Seven commits for Oklahoma as they continue to stay scorching hot in the portal. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about what's next for Oklahoma. It is going to be fun. That's Parker Thune. I'm Brandon Drum. Welcome. Before we do all that, we are going to thank our sponsors for bringing this podcast for you guys, because I think you're going to enjoy it. So Parker, take it away.
Yes, indeed, folks. Riverwind Casino is our presenting sponsor here on the OU Insider Under the Visor podcast. Riverwind has been the metro area's premier gaming destination for nearly two decades now. Almost 3,000 electronic games, table games, bars and dining options, plus the best live music in the metro. It's no surprise that Riverwind is always a good time. Thanks also to our friends at JanaKing, the greatest team to ever clean and a proud partner of OU Athletics, as well as us here at OU Insider. JanaKing delivers spotless results and solutions from stadiums to any size business across the country. Check out which of their solutions is best for you or your business by going to JanaKing.com. That is JanaKing.com. And finally, a word from Mando Whole Body Deodorant. Folks, if you're not familiar with Mando, you need to be. It was created by a doctor who saw firsthand how often BO was being misdiagnosed and mistreated. Mando is clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. And the great part about Mando, it can go anywhere on your body. That's why they call it whole body deodorant. And if you want to try America's number one whole body deodorant formula right now, we have great news for you, because for a limited time, when you head to shopmando.com, new customers get 20% off site-wide with our exclusive code. That is code INSIDER at shopmando.com for 20% off site-wide in addition to free shipping. shopmando.com. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Mando's got you covered with deodorant plus sweat control. Say goodbye to sweat stains and hello to long-lasting freshness. And Brandon, as we launch in here, there's been a lot that's happened since last we hit these microphones to podcast. The big theme for me, though, is this. What the first few days of the portal cycle have validated, and we are sitting here recording this on Monday night. This podcast will go live Tuesday morning. By that time, who knows, there may be more portal news that will have gone public and official in Oklahoma's favor. But what these first few days of the portal cycle have validated is Oklahoma's decision almost a year ago to invest heavily into a new front office model, to bring Jim Nagy in as GM, and to allow him to build out a very robust staff that includes folks like Lake Dawson and Stacy Ford and Charlie Parkinson and Patrick Armstrong and Taylor Redd, et cetera, et cetera. All of those folks and the systems and protocols that they put in place and the collaborative work that they have done to prepare for the challenge of attacking the portal with a very constricted, condensed timeline has set the table for the early success that Oklahoma has had over the first few days of this portal window. This has easily been the most impressive first 72 hours that Oklahoma's ever had in the transfer portal, easily, without question. We have never seen Oklahoma start this hot, this fast. And what do you chalk that up to? More than anything else, you chalk it up to the fact that Jim Nagy and the OU front office We're ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, this has been a whirlwind of a 24. Look, they have been preparing for this for, I mean, obviously since they hired Jim Nagy, this was going to be kind of their Mona Lisa as to painting the picture of why they hired him, as you put earlier. But at the end of the day, it when you get seven commits, and while you're battling with the likes of Texas Tech of the world, with Bama, LSU, Oklahoma State, ironically, like that's been one of the more intriguing programs to follow. They have been swinging a big stick in the portal, and rightfully so, right? Like they have a lot. They have a lot of money that hasn't been spent because Gundy didn't want to spend it, and that was his way of doing things because it worked for a long time for him doing so. But you look at Oklahoma hovering around top five in the portal and ending up around 16th in high school rankings doesn't look so bad now in Oklahoma's fans' eyes when they realize there was a plan to the madness. Oklahoma understood what they had coming back for 2026 most likely, and that they needed some pieces, big, small, depth, what have you, that could play, that had experience, that had production to help Oklahoma go from being a first-round college football team to probably making a run or potentially making a run in 2026. And that's exactly what they're doing while also being able to allow the 26 class to develop and most likely the 27 class to develop as well. And that's going to be how they're going to operate. You're going to start to see less and less portal activity. You can also add the fact that Oklahoma had a bunch of roster spots open because they went to 105. Again, and that opened up everything for everybody in the SEC to go play ball in big ways like they probably weren't going to up to that point when they were stuck at 85. So there was, Parker, it's been a perfect storm for Oklahoma. And I talked to a source today, and yeah, it's really not fair how, and I'm going to be frank with everybody, how Texas Tech operates and how a couple other programs operate and how they have, you know, those one or two donors that are going to put them in the $50 million rosters, right? Like it is what it's true. Like that's what it's going to be. Texas Tech's got four dudes that probably equal $10 million in salary at minimum, maybe more than that. Oklahoma is probably going to hover between $27 and $32 million as far as their roster goes. Those are the numbers I've heard, which, when you look at it, if you want to win a national title, you have to get over the $25 million mark. That has been proven. If you have more than a $25 million roster, you have a decent chance, as long as you built that roster correctly, to go win and play for a national championship or compete. What was Oklahoma's last year? I know you know it. I know it. It was like 25-5, like barely over $25 million. They are upping the ante this year. Mm. This is going to be fun. Wide receivers right now, I'm going to say straight up, Parker, wide receivers are going for no less than $1 million in the portal right now, like good wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Mm-hmm. Not great. Good. Dudes that have barely 400 yards going for $1 million.
The market is out of control at two positions in particular, wide receiver and offensive tackle.
Yep.
And that's part of the reason, Brandon, why the Cam Coleman thing was so short-lived. Obviously, Oklahoma had been anticipating Cam Coleman getting in the portal for a couple of months. They had set aside a large amount of money in the event that he did get in the portal, and they wanted to make a push. But I think OU pretty quickly realized, okay, the final price that we're going to have to pay for a guy like Cam Coleman is going to be truly astronomical, and we would be much better off taking that bag elsewhere and applying it to two, maybe three other receivers that are high impact guys. Maybe they're not, you know, top three wideouts on the market, like true game changers, the likes of a Cam Coleman, but three guys that, if they're developed properly here, if they're utilized properly at Oklahoma, can help contribute to a championship team and that can contend for all conference distinction. And I think, and we probably need to start going through the pickups thus far one by one, but when you start with Oklahoma's splashiest addition thus far, as we sit here on Monday night recording, that's Virginia wide receiver Trell Harris. And that was not a cheap acquisition for the Sooners, but I think that demonstrates just how serious they are about buttressing that receiver room with top-of-the-line talent, because he is, and or was, I don't know if there's been an update, as of last check, he was the number 9 wide receiver in the transfer portal. All ACC guy, had 847 yards and 5 touchdowns last year at Virginia. That guy can play some football. And he's a one-year rental, so it's not necessarily a long-term commitment that you're making to a guy, but basically that's a you're goading Trell Harris to come to Oklahoma and prove it with his final year of eligibility. Okay, you've leveled up from the G5. He started out at Kent State. You leveled up to Virginia. You've performed at the P4 level. Now let's take it from the ACC to the SEC, and you come be a dude here at the University of Oklahoma. We're going to place the faith in you that you're capable of doing that. We're going to compensate you accordingly, but you better show up ready to play harder and to work harder and to embrace the grind more so than you ever have before. And the early impressions that I've gotten just talking to folks that were around Trell Harris during his Oklahoma official visit suggest that's a guy that is very much going to do that.
Yeah, he is speedy. He's big plays. Trell Harris is everything that you want. If you don't believe that, like, Chandler Morris is trying to come back for another year, which is interesting considering his dad is now the offensive coordinator.
He has no chance, does he?
I don't know. He talked about it in the post game, an appeal for like another year for dude, I'm with you.
It's like adjacent to the Trinidad Chambliss conversation, because I'm looking at Trinidad Chambliss's history at the collegiate level, and the conclusion I've come to is there's no way he successfully appeals for a sixth year. He has, like, there's no injury exemption. There's nothing that he can cite as something that objectively cost him a year of eligibility when it shouldn't have.
Yeah, look, I'm looking it up right now, the Chandler Morris appeal. He's seeking an extra year of eligibility due to injuries, hoping to play in 2026 after a strong 2024 and 2025 campaign, but faces potential it's weird, right? Like, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense, but you can ask Chandler Morris how much he loved Trell Harris. Like, if you're coming back, if you're Chandler Morris and you're coming back, you're looking around going, what the hell? Like, I came back because you and you're gone.
Yeah.
Like, you're gone. So, yeah, I don't know. That was one of those pickups, because it came really fast, right? Like,
it did. Everything happened very quickly there. And yeah, maybe this isn't a guy that goes for 850 yards again next year at Oklahoma, but he's also probably not going to need to.
Yeah.
Because if he's lining up opposite an Isaiah Satania alongside somebody like a Parker Livingston potentially, then John Mateer is going to be able to spread the wealth such that even if none of those guys approach the 1,000-yard barrier, you're going to feel each of their impact, not only in what they do production-wise, but in how much easier they make the lives of the other wide receivers on the field. Yeah, how much easier they make each other's lives.
This will be okay, let's say Parker Livingstone is a Sooner like we expect, right? Like, let's stop.
By the way, just to dial this in, it is Livingston. It looks like Livingstone. It probably should be Livingstone.
Yeah,
that's a very natural conclusion to come to, but it is Livingston.
Crazy. I've been calling him Livingston. Nobody's ever corrected me on that either. I've been calling him Livingstone for 3 years now. Okay, Parker Livingston. Let's go ahead and not be coy and just say what we feel is going to take place. He's going to be a Sooner, right?
I think he's going to be a Sooner, yeah.
Feel pretty good about that. Satania, Trell Harris, and let me clarify on the Satania thing. Everybody's sitting around waiting for him, Kip Lewis, Owen Heineke, John Mateer to announce. I'm going to throw this out here to everybody. There's a reason why there's holdup, and you can thank the almighty dollar for that. Mm-hmm. And it has nothing to do with negotiations. It's just so we're aware. It's called salesmanship. It's called your brand. And so that's what I am understanding is some of the holdups with some of these announcements. Now, it doesn't mean it's 100% everybody's coming back, but the ones that are, I've been told that there's a decent, pretty good reason why. But this could be the best wide receiver unit since when? Like, I've been trying to rack my brain.
I mean,
is it 21?
Here's the thing. If that wide receiver room had been healthy in 2024, it would have been vicious, but obviously it wasn't.
True.
So I would say it's comparable to that 2023 receiver room, which was a really good room when Andrell Anthony was healthy in particular, because you had him, you had Nick Anderson, and you had Drake Stoops out of the slot.
Yeah, Jahlil Farouk too.
Jahlil Farouk. Yeah, that was a killer quartet.
Yeah,
at wideout. So, man, I feel if it's Livingston, Harris, Satania, and you have guys like Javonte Gibson, Jermichael Carter, Elijah Thomas, Manny Choice, Jaden Petit, Jasir Rogers, Ivan Carrion coming off the bench, that's a killer group, man.
You feel good about that.
That's a killer group. Yeah. Love it. You know what else I love? Two excellent tight end pickups for Oklahoma very early on in this portal cycle in Hayden Hansen and Rocky Beers. Two guys that I think complement each other quite well, because Hansen, 6'8", 270. Yes, he can catch passes, but he's more of a blocking first guy. He can function pretty effectively as like a sixth offensive lineman in many ways. That's in essence what he is when tasked to block. And then you have Beers, a guy who at 6'5", 245, has been a little bit more productive at the collegiate level as a pass catcher. This past year at Colorado State, had 388 yards and 7 touchdowns on 31 catches. He's more of a field stretching guy than Hansen is, probably somebody that's going to run a few more routes than Hansen will. But it was very clear, even before the portal window opened, that Oklahoma was kind of going to clean house at tight end.
Yeah.
And they have. And what did we feel like we needed to see, Brandon? We needed to see Oklahoma be serious about bringing in high impact portal tight ends. And I like what they get in Beers, but I think Hansen is a guy that you very objectively can look at and say, okay, Oklahoma took this whole thing seriously. When you bring in a guy that has 30 plus SEC starts under his belt at tight end, that demonstrates that you are no longer screwing around at that position. You are committed to bringing in guys that are capable of playing high-level ball and have demonstrated that they're capable of playing high-level ball, i.e. you're not speculating as to what they're going to be or become.
Yeah, it's a great question. The two guys that have got Hansen and Beers, great pickups. We both agree with that. We both think Oklahoma is ending up massively when it comes to the tight end. That position is going to be better than it's been in a very, very long time as far as just overall depth. They're super excited about Trinae Washington as a freshman. I think Will Huggins is the only one that's returning, right? Is that right?
Yeah. Will Huggins? No, no, it's McIntyre. It's Cade McIntyre.
Cade McIntyre. Excuse me. Yeah. No, but who else is?
Trinne.
Yeah, Trinne, Cade McIntyre. Is that
That's it? Those are the only two coming back.
See, there's been so much. I can't even think straight right now. So, yeah, that. But those are two athletic dudes, like freaks when it comes to tight end. So you have them and you add Beers and Hansen to that. I think that's a you just need one more like a blocker, like a guy that's going to come in. And I'm going to sit here and look everybody in the eye. It was supposed to be Tucker Ashcraft. That deal was done. I've talked to people close to him. I've talked to people around, sources around. Not anymore. It sounds like it's going to be SC. So
fighting on,
Look, it's either I was just told SC. So I'm assuming it's South Carolina or Southern California and not South Carolina, because I don't think anybody says SC when they say South Carolina. At least I don't. But maybe it is. Anyways, yeah, I thought it was going to be Wisconsin transfer tight end Tucker Ashcraft as a third guy. It's not. We'll have more on that on OU Insider VIP. Just throw that out there. Not, we're teasing a little bit of where things are headed there, but they've done a really good job transforming that room. Now it's up to the coach, Parker, which my money is on Brian Ellis at this point, because it's not going to be Brian Lepak anymore. Like, we know that.
Well,
so,
and
who's your money on? I'll take Brian Ellis.
Yeah, I will pat you on the back here, because from a very early stage, once Joe John Finley was dismissed, you reported to our members over at OUinsider.com, hey, the name you're going to want to watch here is not Brian Lepak, it's not Jason Witten, but it is Brian Ellis. So if this comes to fruition, well done.
Appreciate that, sir.
But yes, I mean, obviously we'll see which direction this goes, but I will say, just having had some conversations today with parties who are in the loop about that whole process, I'm with you, man. I lean in the direction of it being Brian Ellis. And if so, love that hire, man. Love that hire.
Who's having a better offseason than OU right now? Like, honestly, like, you could, there's an argument to be made that Oklahoma State's having a great offseason. There's an argument to be made that Texas Tech's having a great offseason. There's an argument to be made that Indiana's having a great offseason, but OU could make that very same argument with everything that they've done. And you brought up how the numbers have been inflated at offensive tackle. And Oklahoma went out and got a dude that has 28 starts in the SEC, Parker, and Amarian Harris at Arkansas. Not just your run-of-the-mill offensive lineman. Like, he's a dude and a guy that is very highly rated in the transfer portal right now. And everybody wanted him. His coach, his compadre, his mentor, I'm going to give props to him, Mom L's head coach, Brian Maupin. Big OU guy. Helped Oklahoma get Stacey Wilkins back in the day, was his coach back in the day. And this felt pretty good. I also talked to somebody you know very well from the Arkansas area. And the second Amarian Harris got in the portal, they said, oh, yeah, that kid's going to go to Oklahoma. And I go, why? And he goes, Satania. Those are they're boys. They're boys. I was like, that makes sense. So, yeah, I mean, think about the offensive line next year. Like, we can keep talking about this is the best the group has been since. And it's all on the offensive side, right? Like, the best, because offensive struggled collectively. They've had good individual parts, but collectively the position groups haven't been stellar like they were underneath Lincoln Riley. This offensive line, Parker, left tackle, Fasusi, 5-star. Left guard, Eddie Pierre-Louis, 33rd overall player in the country. You can split hairs all you want, first pick in the second round, if you're going by whatever anybody, how we rank them is based off of where we think they're going to go in the draft or similar spots, right? So 33rd overall player on Rivals, essentially a 5-star, first round pick, if you will. Your center is one of the top centers in the 2024 portal cycle in Jake Michaela. Your right guard could be a top 60, 70 player in the country in 2025 in Ryan Foje. Or you could just go ahead and move the dude that has 28 starts to right guard in Amarian Harris. Either way, your starting offensive line are all 4 stars and above across the board.
Yeah.
Freakish athletes. The most talented offensive line starting that Oklahoma's had since 2021? 22?
Just gotta keep them healthy. Yeah. That's the big thing. Now, as we're moving along here, on the along the list of guys that Oklahoma has already added in the portal, I think that brings us quite nicely, segues us quite nicely to Caleb Nitta from Western Kentucky, who was the second addition, the first of this Monday. He announced early Monday morning in favor of Oklahoma. That was a very open and shut process. I mean, this is a kid that walked on at Virginia Tech out of high school over FCS offers, spent a couple years there, dropped down to the G5 level to play at WKU, had a really strong season there. 6'2", 300 pounds. He's a center by trade, but he can play guard. So in many ways, Oklahoma gets another Troy Everett, a guy that provides depth and competition and stability on the interior. What a journey it's been from him, for him, from walk-on to at the P4 level to scholarship player at the G5 level to very high-priority portal acquisition for Bill Biedenboe and the University of Oklahoma. So it gets me excited for a guy like that because, you know, he's going to take the opportunity seriously and he's going to steward it well. Really like that pickup for Oklahoma because it's one that they needed to make. We talked in the last podcast, Brandon, about all that Oklahoma had lost, most specifically at offensive tackle, but just more generally in that offensive line room. When you look at the reserves, the second and third lines behind the starters, Oklahoma needed a guy like Caleb Nitta that could add some versatility there on the interior and bring some experience to the table. They got him. And then, obviously, Amarian Harris came around just a few hours later. So starting things off in the offensive trenches, starting off the portal hall with those two, really like that for Oklahoma. Really like building that early foundation. And there will need to be more pickups, and there will be more pickups. But those two have you off to a pretty solid start, I would say. And then Oklahoma landed Colorado State transfer running back Lloyd Avant. Third down guy, special teams guy, probably not somebody that's going to carry the ball a ton, especially with Xavier Robinson and Torrey Blaylock and Jonathan Hatton there on the roster. But he's somebody that provides some quality depth. He is experienced. He is versatile. He is explosive. And, you know, Oklahoma didn't really need a big name at running back, but they needed a guy who could come in with the understanding that he wasn't going to be a bell cow, and he just kind of had to embrace a specialized, diverse role within the offense and on special teams. And Lloyd Avant kind of perfectly fit that bill.
Yeah.
And then the lone defensive addition thus far has been Oregon transfer cornerback Dakota Fields, who, you know, former blue chip recruit, hadn't done a whole lot. I think he's got one tackle over his two seasons with the Ducks. Really athletic kid, 6'2", 200 pounds, but more depth than anything. One of those guys that if he booms, great. If not, you're probably not going to need to throw him out there in 2026 anyway with the quality depth that you have right now at cornerback behind Cortland Guillory and Eli Bowen with Jacoby Johnson and Jeremiah Newcomb. And you got Tristan Haynes stashed there as well. Derek Johnson coming in. So again, if Dakota Fields booms, then great. If he doesn't, it is what it is. You probably don't need him to.
We'll get you right back to the video, but first I want to thank one of our sponsors, Refine You Med Spa. Achieving a healthy weight can be challenging to do on your own, but you're not alone. The skilled team at Refine You Med Spa offers treatments that complement weight loss goals and long-term weight loss support, so you achieve a weight that supports good health and self-esteem. You can achieve your ideal look and feel with Refine U's state-of-the-art practices that offers a diverse selection of aesthetic treatments, providing services that benefit every body shape and skin type. Whether you got skin tags, sunspots, whether you want to lose weight around your midsection, they offer the P-Shot, the O-Shot. Whether your girlfriend or fiance or wife loves Botox, lip filler, Daxxify, all that type of stuff, laser treatments as well, skin tightening, skin surface treatments, all of that. They have that for you at Refine U Med Spa. You can do that with like a gift card. I use those all the time for my wife at Refine U Med Spa. It's a great, great gift, whether it's Christmas, Valentine's Day, anniversary, birthday, what have you. Refine U Med Spa has also been the number one rated med spa in Oklahoma City by 405 Magazine for the past six consecutive years. They don't sell procedures. They sell results. So make sure you give the team at Refine U a call at 405-849-5391 or go to refineuokc.com to set up a free consultation. Yeah, that was a interesting get. I don't know how I feel about that one, other than, like you said, there wasn't a necessity there, really. It just was like, okay, let's go grab somebody that if you hit, awesome. You've added a really good player that had a pretty good, a decent upside, right? The talent's there. If not, you've just added depth. Not bad depth, quality depth. Depth that you can run with if you have to. But he's not going to just come in. And he's got 3 years to develop too. I think that was probably the biggest thing out of it all was there's a possibility you lose Eli Bowen to the NFL. There's a possibility, well, not possibility, you're going to lose Jacoby Johnson to the NFL. You're going to lose, you just lost Gentry. You know, you've lost some experience. Guys that still had like years left to play. You bring somebody in like him, you can add that depth. You add it to Tristan Haynes. You add it to the guys that you brought in 2025 and 26. And you feel good about where things are at corner as a whole with that pickup. So, yeah, and with Avant, you know, back on the offensive side of the ball, I just see him as a special teams guy. I think it's going to be really hard for him to crack how deep the running back room is. Would you agree with that? Like, I don't know. I don't have high expectations for Avant. Maybe I'm wrong on that.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. Like, should you have high expectations for Lloyd Avant? No, I think that's one of those guys for whom you ought to keep the expectations modest, and if he exceeds them, then great.
Yeah,
the backfield's going to run through Torrey Blaylock and Xavier Robinson in 2026. We'll see how ready Jonathan Hatton is. We'll see how ready DeZephon Walker is. We'll see to what extent Andy Bass is ready and able to contribute. But it's going to be the X and Torrey show primarily in 2026. At least it should. If it isn't, something has gone wrong.
I would agree with that. Or just injuries or...
Yeah, that's
or Jonathan Jonathan Hatton is a superstar that everybody thinks he's going to be at some point. I mean that also could be, which I don't know. In the SEC, it's hard to really sit here and say there's going to be a freshman that's going to come in and just absolutely kill it as far as that goes. But expectations moving forward, like where do you feel Oklahoma ends up ranked? I don't really care. Because I think Oklahoma's roster and what they returned was so talented that they didn't really need a ton of big name additions to this roster. Mm-hmm. They got some. Don't get it twisted. They got some. But they didn't need a lot to kind of get it over the hump here. Where's your expectations as far as where OU ends up? Do they have a top 10 portal ranking when it's all said and done?
They very well could. I'll be honest, I don't really think it matters.
Agreed.
I think as long as you fill needs, all of the needs that exist on this roster, it doesn't really matter where you land in the national landscape as far as the rankings are concerned, because I truly don't think transfer rankings are worth paying attention to. Recruiting rankings are a different story because everybody fundamentally has more or less the same needs every single year across the country. Like, you're trying to replace 20 to 25, sometimes up to 30 guys that you're going to be losing from one roster one year to the next roster the next year. And so you're going to see similar hauls, similar groups for every single program across college football year in and year out. There may be a few outliers, but there's going to be a lot of common ground there. There's going to be a lot of similarity. Everybody's needs are different in the transfer portal. And for Oklahoma, they're in such a different place than they have been the last few years in the portal, because this is, I think, the first year of the portal era, Brandon, where it doesn't really feel like Oklahoma has glaring needs that absolutely have to be addressed if they're going to play competitive football in 2026. It feels like, okay, you're just kind of adding the bells and whistles to your roster. And that doesn't mean that none of the additions are going to be splashy. Oklahoma's already grabbed a splashy addition in Trell Harris. Mm-hmm. So they may spend big to grab a luxury addition here or there, but for the most part, it's just about adding those depth pieces, those competition guys, those rotational contributors that can help take your roster to new heights in 2026. And that's where Oklahoma thrived in 2025, right? It was their depth that made them special. It was their depth that enabled them to go so deep and to go to the college football playoff. And they lost a lot of those guys. Some of those guys you would have preferred for them not to lose. I'm thinking most specifically of somebody like Davon Jordan, somebody like Marcus Strong, but all of those guys are replaceable. You don't necessarily feel like, oh, you're never going to be able to do any better than that guy in the transfer portal to fill his slot. And so that's the challenge for Oklahoma. Just kind of reload in the middle of your roster, because a championship roster, I would say, the one of the best rosters in college football, you're going to have 30 to 40 guys at the top that are dudes, right? 30 to 40 guys that are high-level players. You'll have another 30 to 40 guys in the middle of your roster that are, well, this is not the word people want to hear me use, but they're Jags. Yeah. Then you'll have 20 on the bottom of your roster that just don't really provide any value. But the word JAG is used, or I should say the acronym JAG is used pejoratively a lot. And maybe it's been misappropriated to an extent in that sense. But you got to have the Jags, Brandon. Yeah. You got to have the Lloyd Avants. You got to have the guys that are willing to just embrace a role that consists of a few snaps here, a few snaps there. Maybe they're not cornerstones of the roster, but when their number's called, you can trust them to get the job done. That's what a guy like Marcus Strong was for Oklahoma in 2025. If Marcus Strong vanished into thin air prior to the 2025 season, the Sooners wouldn't have been up a creek, but he's somebody that throughout the 2025 season continually demonstrated that when he got opportunities to be on the field, when his number was called, he could handle business.
Yeah.
And you got to have 30, 40 guys like that on your roster.
Yeah. The roster that they've built for 2026, assuming everything stays chalk and everything keeps moving in the right direction, the same direction that it has been. And I'm talking guys returning. I'm talking guys leaving. I'm talking incoming. I find it very, very hard pressed to sit here and say it's not going to be the most talented roster Oklahoma's had since 2021. Maybe hyperbole. I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. But I just look at everything that they have and that they've built, particularly across the defensive line, the offensive line. It's always been the defensive line under Venables that's been a strength, right? Or feels like it's been a strength. outside of the first 2 years, I guess the first year when we knew the offensive line was really good, because that was rollovers from when Riley was the head coach and they recruited really well on the offensive line. But I named it earlier, like all that talent that they have, and even the backups, there's a lot of talent there as backups. The defensive line is still really, really good, really talented, particularly the edge is deep. There's a really good chance that linebacker is special as well. Cornerback's going to be the most experienced they've had at cornerback in a long time. Safety, tons of experience. Like, this is the best overall roster, Parker, I can remember since the early 2020s. And when you look back that COVID year, OU probably should have played for the national title that year. That was disappointing. But it was because of suspensions.
Big time.
Yeah, well, they had four guys suspended that were key players. Like, not just key players, like pivotal players for them. But, yeah, this is one of those years. That if Oklahoma was in the Big 12, it would be Texas Tech and Oklahoma kind of butting heads to see who was going to win it all. I still think Oklahoma is a playoff team next year, just with what they have returning. Like, and I know this is early, it's January. Like, how are you saying all this, Drum? Well, one, there's only one portal window. Two, this is the first time in January, Parker, that we know 85% of the roster what it is. When's the last time it was like, what, 2023? Was the last time you could literally look and there's like 80% of the roster, you knew what it was going to be going into 23. Yeah, in the last two seasons, you had no idea. Like, it was a portal crapshoot. They returned so much, but that one portal window, the culture, you return all these starters and the guys you have coming in, you should feel really good if you're OU. I love what's happening right now. But they're not done. Like, linebacker could be the linebacker haul that Oklahoma could have. It may just be one singular dude, but it could be a stud. And you know what would be the best haul ever? Is Kip Lewis and Owen Heineke returning. To go with said stud.
It'd be pretty fortuitous.
Would be pretty fortuitous, yes. Parker Livingston, let's talk about him real quick. He's been on campus. Speaking of big names, that I would consider that a big name haul. Indiana wants him really, really badly, like real bad.
That they do.
That's all you need to know, you fans. I've never thought there would be a world in college football talk where I'd sit here and say, all you need to know is that Indiana wants this guy, and that says that's what you need to, says what you need to know. But that's the world we live in. So, walk us through that recruitment.
Oh, my goodness, man. So, obviously, I think it's pretty well understood at this point. It's an OU-Indiana battle. And who knows? Again, by the time this podcast goes live, maybe we have a resolution. But I think when he left Bloomington without signing, and I mentioned this on the live on Friday, I said, if Parker Livingston makes it out of Bloomington, I think he's an Oklahoma Sooner. And well, Brandon, he made it out of Bloomington.
Yep.
Made it to Oklahoma on Monday. By all accounts, that visit went exceptionally well. And so as of right now, it's my expectation that he is Oklahoma's second wide receiver pickup of the portal cycle, following Trell Harris. And if this comes to fruition, and I don't know, maybe I look like an idiot 3 years down the road because I whiffed completely on this. Man, I have been all in on Parker Livingston since he was a junior in high school, and I am every bit as all in on him right now as I was then. Because there are going to be many folks that speak out of ignorance on Livingston. And they don't understand what his skill set actually entails. they see a 6'4" white kid and they think, okay, slow possession receiver. Now, it's a guy that maybe his best trait is that he can climb the ladder and win a 50-50 ball every now and again.
Yeah.
But unspectacular athlete. That is so far from the truth with Parker Livingston. Yes, this dude is 6'4". He also has elite speed. He ran a 21.5 in the 200 meters in high school. This dude can fly. And I have long been so, and I said this when he was a Texas Longhorn. I said this when he was in high school. I will say it again right now. I believe that dude is an NFL receiver one day. And this is a real needle mover for me with regard to Oklahoma's 2026 season. This measurably affects my outlook on Oklahoma's campaign next year and how far they're capable of going as a team, because I think Livingston is a real difference maker at the wide receiver position. To break into that Texas starting lineup the way that he did as a redshirt freshman and produce to the tune of 29 catches, 516 yards, and 6 touchdowns when he wasn't healthy all year anyway. Yeah. He had a knee injury that at one point looked like it was going to be pretty catastrophic. He dodged anything significant. But in 12 games, man, 29 catches, 516 yards, 6 touchdowns in an offense that wasn't always firing on all cylinders. And even when it was, there was a lot of wealth sharing happening in that offense. You plug him in at Oklahoma and give him the chance to be even a wide receiver too. Let's say he's playing second fiddle to Isaiah Cetania or Trell Harris. Shoot, let's say he's a wide receiver three. Let's say he's playing third fiddle to both Isaiah Cetania and Trell Harris. That's still a dude that in that role, A, is going to flourish individually, but B, he's going to impact Oklahoma's ability to move the football consistently, to finish drives, to win games, because he's got a rare set of skills. Rarely do you see guys that are 6'4" and have the ball skills and have the physicality, but can also absolutely run like the wind. I think this dude's a special football player, man. And if he were to come to Norman with 3 years of eligibility under his belt to use as a Sooner, I think this is a boon for Oklahoma in the portal. Between him and Trell Harris, I don't know what the dreamland best case scenario looks like for everybody, but if I'm being realistic here, if I'm simply limiting myself to outcomes that are actually possible in the real world for Oklahoma in the portal at the wide receiver position, this is about as good as I could have drawn it up, man.
Yeah, this everything's looking up. Everything's kind of rosy right now for Oklahoma as far as just the portal outlook, whether it's at wide receiver, whether it's at linebacker. Look, Cole Sullivan, Michigan. I know that Michigan still feels good about him returning, or at least they did. They did an in-home. It's well documented that Michigan did an in-home. So how is Oklahoma going to combat that? Well, they're going to do everything. They're going to do their due diligence. And I don't want to dive too much into how Oklahoma's combating everything and doing everything that they're doing, because our members on OU Insider get that intel. But it's been one of the more interesting recruitments. And not just Cole Sullivan. What Oklahoma is doing at linebacker, I'm about to put a piece up, Parker, on OU Insider VIP. I know you've got more notes coming tomorrow. And so everybody will be listening to this on Tuesday. It'll be well worth your while to go over to OU Insider and try to give it a try. I counted how many notes Parker and I put up in the last 24 hours. I've done 9. He's done 12. I'm about to put my 10th. He will have his 13th up. That is insanity. That is how, and it's not just like little tidbit notes. Like mine have been like 2,800 words at some point. Parker's put up several thousand plus word notes. Like, we have been dropping intel upon intel upon intel. The board has been busy, busy, busy. I have a VIP chat going on right now. It is so much fun over there on OU Insider VIP. And it's 50% off this month. Like, it is what it is, 50% off. You can get OU Insider. Normally, $120 will get you a whole year. Right now, $60. A little less than $60, actually. We'll get you a whole year of OU Insider. All I have to do is type in OU Insider in your code, in your URL bar up there, and go click that join now, and you can get it for literally 1 year, which will get you access to all 80 on three sites, get you access to every rival site, get you access to OU Insider, get you access to everything that you want. All the national media guys will be there. They go over to OU Insider and drop nuggets and notes all day. We've had a ton of help from Spiegelman, from Wilt Fong, from Chad Simmons, from Adam Gorney. It has been busy, from Nakos, like busy, busy, busy over there on OU Insider. A lot of fun. The community is awesome. It's a blast. It's growing. Thank you so much, OU fans, for everything that you've done for us. We don't have this job if it's not for you. And we truly, truly enjoy it. Again, all you have to do is type in OU Insider in your OUinsider.com, or you can just search OU Insider in Google and it'll pop up. Click the join now and have some fun over there at OUinsider.com. Ask us questions. Parker and I talk to you guys all day, every day on there. So we are active with you guys. We are open. We try to be the most accessible media members that there are on the beat. And we pride ourselves on that. So thank you guys so much. Hope to see you over there. But that's going to do it for this version of the OU Insider Under the Visor Sooners podcast, powered by Riverwind Casino, the portal version. Subscribe to this YouTube. Give us 5 stars. Give us thumbs up. Hype this YouTube video up. Give us whatever podcasting platform you're listening to is on. 5 stars, thumbs up, whatever. Like, subscribe. Thank you guys so much, because all the subscriptions helps us out. All the likes helps us out. All the 5 stars helps us out. Helps us continue to be able to have sponsors that we can continue to bring free content to you guys all week, every week. So thank you guys so much for listening to this. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. We will be back here in a few days as OU continues to just stay hot in the portal. And that's what they're going to do. I promise you guys. Plus, Parker, we have the Navy Combine coming up, which is Parker and I will be at. As well as the national or the Navy All-American game, which has, I think, 7 OU players going to be there, or 6 or whatever, and several commits potentially as well. So make sure you stay tuned to OUinsider.com for that as well. All right. For Parker Thune, my name is Brandon Drum. You guys have a blessed day.